Okay. Lee, now the highlights. My day is now complete. I've been waiting for this moment since I got our next guest.
You've been talking about this for a month.
I've been talking about Dean Karnazes for a while
now. I have
now.
Never seen you have a man crush on anyone like this guy.
Listen, there's a couple of guys that have only inspired me in my life. One is the boss, Bruce Springsteen. Lance Armstrong, okay, because the guy, anybody that loses a testicle and can do what he does.
Despite the rumors.
That, in my opinion, has got a lot of courage. And then my next guest is Dean Karnazes. He is the ultra marathon man. This guy is amazing.
Where's Vinny Chase from Entourage?
From Entourage? I don't have him. He's run 50 marathons, 50 states in 50 days. He's done the Western states countless times, the 100-mile races. He's done the Badwater, which is 135 miles across the desert in Death Valley. He's done everything. He's run 350 miles continuously. This guy,
you're so impressed by this.
Like, I can't even imagine. He's also friends with one of our friends, Chris Berglund. So, Dean, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm sorry you know Chris Berglund. I feel sorry for you guys.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I know you guys must be very competitive with one another. Who's going to run 1,000 miles first at one shot? Is that correct?
Well, I'll just, Berglund is a great friend of mine, and one time he convinced me to do a 24-hour treadmill run.
In New York City, right, I know.
In New York City, yep, yeah. And I'll never forgive him for that. Oh, man.
What's that like for a guy who hates to run on treadmills to now all of a sudden have to run for a whole day on a treadmill?
It was entertaining, though, in Manhattan in the storefront. There was constant entertainment. So it was pretty fun.
You were like a model. Modeling.
Sounds like a David Blaine stunt.
I was like one of those test crash dummies.
Now, Dean, I'm going to feel bad if somehow we screwed up your run today. Did this mess it up? It was in the middle of the day?
In the midst of it, so you guys actually inspired me to get out the door.
He multitasks. He's got the jawbone on his head, and off he goes, right?
Now, Dean, I've got so many questions for you, because I've gone on YouTube, I've looked up a lot of your interviews, and every interview I hear the same thing, but the first thing I got to ask you is, how the hell do you go from a guy who's 30 years old that you get up one day, or you're thinking about your life, and you go out and celebrate your 30th birthday, you have a couple too many, and then you decide to run 26, 30 miles at a pop and show up back at your house, or call up your wife, 30 miles away and say, hey, honey, listen, everything's cool, but you got to come pick me up here. I'm in a pair of the shoes that I cut my lawn in, and I don't have any clothes on, so you got to come pick me up.
It shows you the power of bad tequila.
It's the new Gatorade. I think they have this as a pre-race mixture.
G3.
My buddy said, I got drunk on my 30th birthday too, but I didn't run. I did something a little different than running 30 miles at night.
Right. So how?
I literally stumbled out of the bar and just was unhappy with my life and said, I'm going to change things tonight, and took off running in the dark. And
now,
it wasn't pretty. There was some chafing and some blistering where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I stumbled through it. Yeah, it changed my life.
It's now, very Forrest Gumpish.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, you ran as a you ran in high school, and you were a competitive runner, and you were a very good runner. A lot of stuff I read about you, you're very modest about your running, but you're just not a regular guy. You were fast. You were definitely a competitive guy, competitive runner. And did you stop running completely up until 30, or were you still kind of active?
No, I won't say that I was a couch potato. I surfed a whole lot. I started windsurfing. I snowboarded, but I didn't do anything cardiovascular. I was a slacker in that regard.
So
completely,
really.
I got to be honest. I was never that good. I think that I was. The reason I did well competitively is I think I just tried a lot harder than everyone else, but I was never very gifted.
Well, anyway, I think you're tremendously gifted. And I was watching this show, and the funny thing, I was watching a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the Super – really, you remember this, the Superhumans? They have that thing on, I think, the Travel Channel or something.
X-Men?
No.
Superhero show.
Cartoon. Dean. Well, he's got the first name Dean, so that matches perfectly. But they were talking a lot about your physiology, and they were looking at you kind of as like this, in terms of how are you able to endure the distances that you run and still, continue on? How is that physiologically possible? And what they looked at was your ability to buffer acid and how your body, even as you go to higher and higher workloads, your buffering system is unmatched. It's an incredible physiology.
it was pretty interesting to hear that, wasn't it? Yeah, I've never really looked at that as well. But, I mean, they said, you know, we've never seen anything like this. We said, theoretically, if you had enough nutrition coming in, you could, you know, run forever. And I said,
right.
You know, you got to sleep at some point. But they said, yeah, I mean, there's no change in your physiology.
Now, when you decided
it's
to...
The same with the fat guy, though, isn't it?
He's similar. They've never seen anything like them. They've never seen
anything like it.
They were impressed by my buffering.
Yeah, yeah, right. Listen, Dean, he's not as impressed with you as I am. He thinks this whole thing of running.
I just think you're like a freak, like, you know, a circus freak. That's all. I mean, it's nothing personal to you. I think it's great you're doing it, but, you know, it's like the guy who catches a bullet in his mouth. You know, yeah. It's interesting, but it's not something that everybody can do.
Yeah, I think
you know, I got to say my message is just the opposite. That I you know, everyone doesn't have to do it. Obviously, it is kind of freaky to run for, you know, 2 or 3 days nonstop just
you
to
think?
See if you could do it. Yeah, a little bit, but it, you know, it's not a gimmick. I'll say. I mean, people say, you know, wow, kind of what stunt are you going to do next? I'm like, well, you know, it's less of an Evel Knievel type of stunt. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of dedication. To train. If you don't train, you know, you just can't go out and do it.
Right. That's what David Blaine says when he's standing on a pole.
Yeah,
you know?
No. You can't, you're right. You can't just go out and do this. And it's one of these things, too. You just, to be able to pull this type of feat off is such an amazing, amazing accomplishment to have the dedication. And also, it's not only the dedication, but mentally, when you're out on the road, how does that feel to be out on the road for 24 hours? I mean, the thoughts that go through your head, I can't even...
He just listens to Tony Robbins tapes, right?
No, he doesn't really use an iPod that much.
Oh, would you cut it out? Well, you know, I'll tell you that the first time I heard of people doing this, I thought the same thing. Like, this is impossible. Come on, what kind of sort of tricks are they doing?
Right.
But it's damn impressive when you go out there and you watch someone actually hammer for 24 hours. Because, you know, I watch David Blaine, you're like, you know, he's... in ice for 3 days, and he looks a little worked, but you can't. It's not relatable. You can't identify with what he's doing.
Right. Okay, I mean, Dean, yours is better.
No, you're better.
Well, everyone out there's run a mile, and you know you can relate to it. You're like, geez, I hurt to run a mile. I can't imagine a human running 100 miles.
Right, and the thing is, your message that you're trying to get to people is that you're trying to get them to go to just be active. You're not telling them that they need to go out and run ultra distances. You're just saying, hey, let's just get these kids moving. Let's get them active with Carno's kids.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, we've got an epidemic in this country, and I'm, you know, it's fun and funny, and we can poke fun at it, you know, and say, oh, you know, McDonald's is this and that. It's really crushing our economy. It's just not a good thing for anyone. I think, you know, you look at the cost of having a third of our youth overweight or obese, and they say, you know, the hard medical costs are one thing that's going to damage us, you know, as a nation and our productivity. But when you look at the quality of life, that's what kills me. I mean, I went and gave a talk. I won't say the state, but I was in the South.
Arkansas.
And, Mississippi.
You know, Alabama.
Mississippi.
Yeah, Alabama.
Yeah, you can probably take your pick of a couple of them. But, you know, it's a middle school, so I'm talking to 12 and 13-year-olds. I go into the bathroom, and there's a Sharps container in there. And I'm looking at this Sharps container filled with needles. I'm like, what is going on here? And I asked one of the teachers. She said, these kids are all insulin-dependent diabetics.
Right. Right.
I mean, can you imagine a 12-year-old kid having to inject himself with insulin? It hit home so hard.
Right.
That we really need to take this a little more seriously, or do something, damn it, to change. You know, to flip the ship around, because it's we're not going in a good direction.
Now, you know, when I saw the movie, and I read the book, the Secrets I Learned Running 50 Marathons in 50 Days. Dean, you actually went. I had to actually go out and buy the Ultra Marathon Man too. It wasn't enough. I needed to know more. I had to get to the beginning of your story.
He's a little bit of a groupie.
Yeah, I needed to get more. I needed to know the beginning, the genesis of you. And the other thing that really struck home for me was your relationship with your wife and how you're able to. How do you come home and say, "Honey, I've stumbled upon running." And how does that the dynamic of the relationship? Because I struggle with my wife. Even if I get out 5 or 6 miles, you know, she busts my chop. This woman to me is a saint. How she's able to allow you to do the things that you're doing and be encouraging and supportive at the same time.
That's a really good question. And I mean, you know, being a triathlete or a runner, these things are very polarizing just because of the amount of time it takes. And,
right.
You know, there's no just neutral reaction by a partner. It's either your partnership grows stronger or just you know, is blown to smithereens. I mean, how many relationships have I seen ruin when someone gets into, you right. know, doing triathlons? It's incredible. But our relationship got stronger. And, you know, I mean, I got to be honest. I always put my family first. It's just kind of, you know, my hardwiring. So, I get up at 4 in the morning, and I run before I fix breakfast for the kids, and then I take them to school. So I try to, you know, make sacrifices in the way I train, just so I'm not an absentee father kind of thing.
Right. Now, now that your kids are getting older, is there more stress on your, you know, and the wife's practice getting bigger? Is there more stress on you and to condense what you're doing to fit into their lives now that they may, you know, if they're getting involved in sports and activities, or is everything in balance with what's going on?
Oh, there's no balance. If I said there's balance, I'd be fooling myself and lying to you. I mean, it's frenetic, it's hectic, it's fast paced, but you know, it's a lot of fun. And there's just this underlying, I think, foundation of kind of, you know, mutual respect and love, and I think that holds everything together. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, dad figures that are into other vices besides running for a few hours a day.
Right.
And, you know, we seem to hold it together. And, you know, am I fooling myself? I don't know. People say, what's the toughest endurance race you've ever done? And I always say, you know, raising a kid, right?
Right. Yeah. You'll know if you did good in, you know, 20 years.
Exactly. You'll know. Yep. And I hope I'm doing right. You know, I think I'm on the right course, but we'll soon find out.
Well, Dean, I just want to let you know that we think you're doing wonderful work. There's a new we think that what you're doing is phenomenal, and we want to let you know that Dr. Fitness and the Fact are behind you 100% with your cause of fighting nipple chafing. We think that what you've done so far for people that are losing nipples because of chafing due to running is phenomenal. So we really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, to the fat guy, I've also contributed a lot to chub rub.
There you go.
Elimination of chub rub. A major issue for some larger Clydesdale type runners.
I'm wearing a wristband to help celebrate that cause right now.
Now, Dean, what are some of the things that, you know, some of the challenges that you've had to overcome when you first started getting involved in ultra distances? What are some of the things that you had to learn a painful lesson to that you know, people out there may need to know about that may not know about you?
You know, I would say if you value your toenails,
yeah,
this is not the right sport to be in.
Toenails are not good for ultra distance.
Pretty much come off almost immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And moisture. There's moisture creates a big problem.
You need a good wicking fabric because moisture is definitely a contributor to plenty of unpleasant outcomes after the end of a race.
So now, tell us a little bit about the 50 marathons in 50 days. And also about the movie, because it's a great movie and it's great information. And you had to overcome some challenges to be able to pull that off. And I thought it was amazing that even you thought you were kind of on the fence if you can actually pull this thing off.
Well, I wanted to make it big. I mean, I didn't want to just go do this thing in a vacuum. You know, I thought, let's do it legitimately. Let's run organized races, all 50 of them, so we have a credible record of running a sanctioned certified course. And, you know, let's try to get others out there. I mean, let's try to influence people to get more active. And it became a production that was way beyond running. I mean, I look forward to running a marathon every morning because that was kind of the easy part.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, you saw some of the backstory. I mean, just, you know, pulling together the financing for it.
Right.
You know, just how do you do this whole thing, the logistics, how do you approach it? And I learned a whole lot. It was as much of a, you know, a business exercise as a endurance exercise. And, you know, could I run 50 marathons? Here I'm signing these, you know, these big sponsorship deals, and I'm thinking, geez, after 5 marathons, I just blow up.
Right. What happens then? And the thing that was amazing is that you actually did hurt yourself in the first couple of days. You were saying how you had like a rookie mistake of had some bad, you know, problems with your feet, some blistering you had, and you're like, oh, gee, look what I've got myself into.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to show that no matter, you know, how supposedly good you are, you do stubborn, bullheaded things. I mean, I knew better than to run through some, you know, heat on my toe, and no, I didn't, and, you know, there's a hematoma.
Right.
A lovely hematoma.
Lovely hematoma.
Word you want to learn to embrace, yeah.
Yeah, and
but, you know, I think the most telling thing in the 50 marathons is that, you know, the human body got stronger over the course of 49 days. I mean, the New York City Marathon, the final of the 50, was the strongest.
Right. I couldn't – first of all, I couldn't believe the speed at which you ran that last marathon. And I was like, you know, it was just an incredible pace to go that long. And then you ran it just around 3 hours, which is incredible.
Well, I'll never forget. I got to the finish line. This race official comes running over to me and said, "My God, I can't believe you ran the 50th marathon that fast. I mean, were you trying to beat Lance?" And that was the first year Lance had run a marathon.
Right.
And I was, you know, like 30 seconds behind him. He looked horrible, by the way. I mean, he was worse. Yeah. I said, I had no desire to beat Lance. I mean, that was the last thing on my mind after 40
right.
marathons. The only guy I wanted to beat was P. Diddy.
Right. P. Diddy. Imagine if P. Diddy beats you, like, oh, now we've got problems. But
Man, I saw that Joker at the start, and he was surrounded by this posse, his entourage, right. And he had these frigging big old chains around his neck, and I thought, if that Joker beats me, even after 49 marathon, I'd be so damn humiliated. So that's part of the reason I ran so hard.
Now, some of the places that you run in, when you go for a run, you know, a run for you is a lot different than a run for me or a run for the fat guy. You know, it's you got a credit card, you got a phone and a credit card, and you're out the door. Have you ever had an experience where, like, I run much smaller distances, and for some reason, small dogs seem to find me like nobody's business? I'm always getting chased by dogs. Do you get chased a lot by animals? Any, like, mountain lions or anything like that?
Have you been marked by a poodle?
I don't know.
The problem.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I get those dogs, the Napoleon dogs, that just they go right for me for some reason. I don't know what it is.
The little guys. They're drawn to your energy.
They're drawn to my energy, and now I have a little thing, a mace, and it's just for dogs. You know, I haven't sprayed any yet, but I'm telling you, Dean, I'm getting close. I'm closer. I have it. I'm ready to go. Since I saw your movie, I bought one of those packs now. I wear a belt around me now because I was watching you going, look at this guy. He's got a thing around his chest.
He's like Batman.
I thought there was a cape I saw that you had. I'm like, I'm going to get a belt and put something on me as well now.
All I have in my backpack is a credit card and a cell phone so I can order pizza if I get lost and I'm out of food. You know, that's...
I love it. So no dog stories. You haven't gotten attacked by any dogs.
Oh, I've been chased by many dogs. I mean, I remember getting attacked in the middle of the night on a run, and thankfully there's a Range Rover within sprinting distance. They have one of those ladders on the back. Yeah, someone's Doberman got out at 2 a.m. And no, and I got up on top of this thing, and it was going, you know, this dog's going berserk trying to get on the car. And, you know, 15 minutes later, it's still going berserk. Well, I had a hydration pack. You know, filled with syrupy, you know, the Cytomax.
Right.
And I started spraying it with Cytomax. And then started kind of licking its face where the Cytomax was.
He started running after you.
And all of a sudden, it was like my best friend. I'm like, geez, how am I going to get rid of this? It's following me through the night then.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. So even with those, if that happened to me, I'd be driving a gun. I'd have a bodyguard, Dean.
An entourage?
No, he doesn't. This guy
can't. No, I was out in the middle of the night all by myself.
Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable.
That's good stuff.
Now, do you when you go for your runs now, do you have other people now because you've become such a celebrity?
That follow you?
Do people want to go running with you all the time? Is it hard for you to go running by yourself now?
People like, oh, can I go running with you? I'm thinking, yeah, what's so damn appealing about going? Sure, come on out.
You can run behind me and quietly behind me.
Right.
Let's go for a 20, 30-mile run.
Right.
Yeah, no, people love to run with me, and I love to run with people, but I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, people seem to, like, you know, want to make a big production out of it. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm just a runner, just like you. Let's go for a run.
Do you talk to them while you're running? Hey, Dean, what's up? Oh, yeah.
We talk about toppings on pizza. And, yeah, you know,
right. Where we're going to
stop. That was good, yeah.
Right, where we're going to stop for lunch. So, Dean, what's the future? What's the future for you?
You ran out of states.
Yeah.
I'm expanding my universe, and I'm actually
you're going to Mars. You're going to Mars. You're running to Mars.
The moon. He's going to run around
the moon. Yeah. I'm actually going to try and run a marathon in every country of the world in 1 year. So I'm going to set out on this global expedition. And run. Try to run. There's 204 countries the UN recognizes. So I'm going to try and run 204 marathons in one calendar year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's unbelievable.
That's a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Just like, bring it on, baby. Let's kill this guy off. I don't want to hear any more of this.
Really?
Unbelievable. Well, I can't, you know, you've inspired so many people to become active. And even in your film, one of the things that came across real clear was the fact that you inspire little kids to become active. You know, there you saw a bunch of kids, bunch of schools who came out to support you, and the message really came through. There was even a 12-year-old kid who ran, I think, a marathon, who was so inspired to be a part of it as well. And
he's dead now, but
he's dead.
It's the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts. At least he was active. We made sure he was active before he went. But just a real inspiration. Do you ever get it from people where they say to you, you know what, I can never do this? So it's almost like the opposite effect, where it's like, I don't even want to get started because I know I can never do what you do. Does that ever happen to you, where you have a fear of turning people the opposite way? It's like, you know, they look at you and go, I can never be like him, so I'm never, I won't even start.
You know, I think that maybe I'm just the opposite, and that's why people kind of get a little bit of inspiration just to do something. Because, you know, I tell them, you don't have to run 50 states in 50 days. You know, just sign up for 5K. And, you know, the other thing I say is, first or last, I mean, we all cross the same finish line.
Uh-huh. That's right. Ricky Bobby said that, I think.
And what was that? Talladega Nights?
If you're not first, you're last.
That's
the fat guy rolls through the finish line. But other than that, you know.
Hey, yeah. It still runs. Counts.
You know what, Dean?
Still counts.
Listen, we have our own initiative. We have a book out called 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. We actually have a tandem bike, Dean. We have a bike built for two. Unfortunately, I have to pull a lot more of the weight on it. But our initiative is to get people moving, and we're trying to get out there too, and trying to get kids moving and stuff like that. And believe it or not, the fat guy is not really fat. People see him, the first thing they go is, who's the fat guy?
Really?
Which doesn't make me feel good as the Dr. Fitness part. People go, who's the fat guy? I'm like, dude, that's the fat guy.
Just check my BMI.
The fat guy?
Check my BMI.
So anyway, we share your message about getting the kids active. And can people, if they go to your website, ultramarathonman.com, there's also a thing for the Carnos kids, right, too, as well?
Yep. And, you know, our motto is no child left inside.
No child left inside.
Yeah. Or no child left on his behind.
Oh, man. The fat guy couldn't come up with that. That's great. Those are great. I love that. That's fantastic.
We just need to get kids outside. So, I watch your show. I listen. I mean, I applaud what you guys are doing. And it's going to take fun and funky and, you know, satirical, whatever, points of view to inspire people to do what they can. I mean, if it's a tandem bike, so be it.
Right. Now, are you and Chris going to do any events, anything coming up together, any more partnerships where you're going to try to do something?
I don't return his emails anymore.
Yeah, so that'd be a no.
24 hours of the treadmill, pretty much.
That's it.
In.
That was it.
He's like, Dean, dude, you got to try this out, man. We're going to run on a treadmill all night, 24
awesome.
Hours. We're
going to
break the world record. We're going to know Howard Stern. I'm telling you, we're going to on Letterman. This thing's going to be unbelievable. And you're like, oh, great. Yeah, I could just imagine that. So you're not a big fan of treadmill running. You say, hey, go outside and do your miles out there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a little unfair because I live in San Francisco, and, you know, Chris is back where you guys are at in New York, and your winter's a little different than ours.
Exactly.
So, I'll cut you some slack.
Well, Dean, it's been a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you on the phone today, and we really appreciate coming on the show. And the movie is called Ultra Marathon Man by Journey Film. It is a great – you got to go see it. It's fantastic. 50 marathons, 50 states, 50 days. You also have your book – 50-50 Secrets I Learned Running 50 Marathons in 50 Days, and how you too can achieve super endurance, and also your first bestseller book, which is Ultra Marathon Man, Confessions of an All-Night Runner.
Next time I'm by, I'll swing by and we'll take the fat guy for a run.
There you go.
Listen, hell with going for a run. Let's go get pizza. You know, we're a big fan of pizza. We'll find the best pizza place here in Atlanta, and we're going to go and take you out and make sure you have at least two or three slices.
You can run there. We'll drive. You run.
No. We're going to go together. We're going to go together. But definitely, when you're in Atlanta, please, we definitely want to have you in the studio.
Is still on my growing life list. So one of these 4th of Julys, I'll see you guys out there for that one, because I got
to
do it.
We'd love to do it with you, too. So, Dean, whenever you're going to do it, let us know. We'd love to have you back on the show. And best of luck in the future, and keep up the message.
Same to you.
Have a great day. Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
That is Dean Karnazes. He is the Ultramarathon Man, Confessions of an All-Night Runner. Check out his website, ultramarathonman.com. Check out his movie, Ultramarathon Man, 50 marathons, 50 states, 50 days. What a cool dude. See that, Lee? That's what a cool dude sounds like.
If you say so.
And when you're online, also check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Great book by Turner Publishing. A lot of funny stories in there. A lot of little zingers that the fat guy.
Yeah. I got to earn
my
keep.
I got to tell you, I'm going to read one because I just love some of the things that you do. You know, at the end of each chapter, we have like little tips. And like in chapter number 22, it says explore self-defense for fitness, right? So I write, I'd like to see some more girls take martial arts classes. And the fat guy says, I'd like to see fewer bullies take martial arts classes, which is always which is always a good little thing to know. So anyway, go check out our book.